Let's go to Ramallah in the occupied West Bank in Palestine and speak now with policy lead for Oxfam in the occupied Palestinian territory, Bushra Khalidi. Bushra, good morning. Thank you for speaking with us today. Do you know what the status is of the Rafah crossing this morning? Is aid going to be allowed through there today or not?
Well, it's very unclear and still too early to tell. I've seen some local reports on it being open and trucks going through. But last night in the evening, we were told by the Israeli authorities that there would not be any Rafah crossing open. So it's just very unclear and everything's moving very quickly. So I don't have that specific update. But, you know, regardless, I think at this point, humanitarian aid cannot be used as a bargaining chip for the ceasefire negotiations. You know, humanitarian aid needs to be separated from the ceasefire political negotiations. Humanitarian aid should be impartial and should be, you know, provided as Israel is being the occupying power. It has a legal obligation, but third states also have a legal obligation that humanitarian aid should be unfettered. It should be unrestricted and it should be flowing freely into Gaza, regardless of what's happening at the political level on the ceasefire negotiations specifically.
And yet that is precisely what the hostage families are calling for. As you heard there in that last interview, they want aid restricted until they get the bodies of their loved ones back.
Yeah, but that's against international law, and that's violating international law. You should not be collectively punishing an entire civilian population that has been forced to starve by Israeli forces for the last 2 years, has been bombardment, and has carried out a genocide against an entire civilian, defenseless civilian population. You should not be weaponizing aid, food, water, electricity, the basic needs that sustain life in Gaza for the hostage deal. They need to be separated. These are separate issues under international law that would be and would not be in line with it.
Has Oxfam got clearance from Israel now to bring aid into Gaza?
No.
Because I know there have been some difficulties.
No, we are many and the majority of international NGOs, or let's say many of the principled and credible international NGOs remain blocked, including Oxfam, under Israel's restrictive approved organizations approach. This is not aligned, again, with the ceasefire's humanitarian commitments and goes against international law. But of course, our response, it's not solely dependent on the goods needing to come in. We're also scaling up our response on the ground despite these blockages. But of course, there's much more we could do and need to do if we would be able to bring trucks in.
And where is the greatest need now? I mean, I know obviously you have aid ready to go, both food and presumably medical supplies as well. So what is the priority at the moment?
Well, I mean, you know, everything. We're talking about the decimation of every single sector in Gaza. So for us, it's fuel. Fuel is number one. And cooking gas. We saw the first truck of cooking gas, believe it or not, come into Gaza on Sunday. We need a fuel. We need pumps. We need pipes. We need chlorine. We need soap. We need menstrual products. We need solid waste management. We need repair materials. We need food parcels to help. We need food to help functioning markets or revive markets. We need medical equipment. We need medicines. We need dignity kits. We need shelter items. We need fuel as well for power and for water systems and for the clinic in the hospitals and the aid storage kind of warehouses. But we also need coordination and guarantees for protection and the free movement of our staff in the trucks, right? Because all of the above could be done. But if, you know, we don't have safety for our humanitarian workers, delivery is also going to be restricted and blocked.
Yes, and there is an added complication now, isn't there? Because there is a breakdown in law and order in Gaza. We have heard reports about fighting between Hamas and rival gangs. Yeah. So presumably it's not safe at the moment, is it, to bring aid into Gaza right now?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, of course, you know, the situation in Gaza today is the direct result of siege and deprivation and collective punishment by Israel. So when people are trapped under siege and they're cut off from basic services and they're cut off from their livelihoods and from their basic dignity, the entire social fabric begins to erode. And so the current instability we're seeing inside Gaza, it cannot be separated from that context. It's not happening in a vacuum. So for humanitarian organizations, of course, it's difficult, even before this this genocide, we were struggling to bring in supplies. So fundamentally, this is not a logistical problem. It's a political one. And if there were no siege and if people had consistent access to food, water, electricity and freedom of movement, we wouldn't be facing this kind of desperation and chaos.
But you say that you're looking for guarantees for the safety of your workers. Who are you asking for those guarantees
from? The
Israeli
authorities. We need deconfliction. We need to make sure that our warehouses are protected, that we get, we used to have and used to operate with the civilian blue police, unarmed civilian blue police that would protect convoys, that would protect warehouses and humanitarian worker promises. We need also, coordination with the Israelis on what routes we can use, what safe routes they can use. Like, that is also part of their obligations under international law, is to protect humanitarian workers and guarantee their safety and their access.
Bushra, thank you very much for speaking with us this morning. That's Bushra Khalidi from Oxfam. The time is 8:22.